Hey everybody, happy Friday night. Today is January 26, 2024. This is Across the Pitch. If you haven't watched our show before, thank you for joining us tonight. We're just three guys who try to talk soccer and make some sense of it. Before we get too far ahead, let's do some introductions. So I am Mike Brera. I'm joined by my buddies Dave and Jose. Dave Miller, I'll go to you first. Dave, out in England, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, got an early start tomorrow for Jills, but you know, can't miss an episode of Across the Pitch, so you know. And it's been a big busy week, obviously, Jose breaking things left, right and centre. So, I mean, we're going to definitely be diving into a lot of that. And, you know, it's just good to get back on the show, I think. I've had a few weeks off. I've had a few weeks off, certainly. It's good to get back. And, you know, the season right around the corner now. So, I think it's about, 4 weeks until the first game, or 3.5 weeks until the first game against Saprissa. So
it's closing in quick. And we got Jose Nunez as well. Jose, how are you doing tonight?
I'm okay. A little flustered, I must admit, just on and off the phone over the last however long, half hour, 45 minutes, just answering phone calls and making some phone calls myself in terms of just following up on the reporting I've been doing this week. But all that said, I think this past year has sort of put things into perspective, both with, you know, my own loss and what you're about to talk about. So I'll turn it over to you.
Of course. And so for those of you who don't know or don't follow the Edge of Philly sports team too quickly, I posted about this on Twitter. But for anybody else who hasn't heard the news, a couple Sundays ago, the co-host of the Attacking Third, Gustavo Seminario, passed away unexpectedly. He was a part of our you know, union community in terms of the media, but also as a fan as well. So our hearts go out to everybody who knows him, his family. Great dude, great guy to talk soccer. And listen, if you don't know the guys from Edge of Philly Sports, he's a Union fan, and when I see the blue and gold, you know, that's a brother, that's a sister, that's family to me. So just wanted to do a quick, you know, a shout out to them and to the Augustus family, wishing them the best. But without further ado, we have a lot to talk about tonight. First and foremost, Jose, I know you just released it on Twitter a few minutes ago, but Alejandro Bedoya will be returning to the Philadelphia Union. We also have news about Brandon Craig. We got a couple of preseason games. It feels like the regular season again. I know Dave and Jose have been talking to you guys saying, I just want to get back to talking Union soccer. And it's finally here. It's finally back. So, Dave, your thoughts so far on the news that Jose broke with Bedoya coming back?
I don't know whether... Personally, for me, I don't think it's a move that gets you excited. I think knowing it's a steady move. It's a move that you know what you're getting, but it's nothing to like get you up on your feet and think, oh my god, this could be a game changing move for the Union. I'm perhaps surprised like a player coach role perhaps wasn't added on top of him being just a player, because I feel like at the age that he's at, I would, and you know, the players that have broken through like Jesus Bueno and, you know, Jack McGlynn obviously coming more into a role of his own, then both come to more of a role of their own last season. I can't, you know, I hope that Bedoya's role this year is very minimal off the bench, you know, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, the occasional start if, you know, we've got three games in a week or something like that, there's international breaks. But yeah, for me, it's just one that it's a steady move. It's nothing that gets you off your feet, but maybe there's more to the deal that, you know, Jose or anyone finds out down the line that I'm, you know, I'd like to hope or think that, you know, maybe there is a coaching role involved and that can sort of, you know, help Ali progress himself in life post-football. Of course, he's done some incredible things for the Union and there's no disputing that. So I think, again, it's probably only right for him as well, I guess, the fact that he gets to go out on his own terms as opposed to the team just going, yeah, we're done with you. At least this might be the year for him to say, I can go out on my own terms, I can retire. You know, with the team, we can do a big ceremony as opposed to it abruptly ending like we all thought it was going to like 3-4 months ago.
Absolutely. And I'll share my thoughts in a second, but Jose, if you wanted to elaborate more on the post you released tonight, and then just obviously your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah. I want to be careful too, Dave. I posted what I know. I don't know if there's a coaching role involved or anything of that magnitude. I don't know what type of coaching licenses Alejandro has. I know that he's, a philanthropist. I know that he is a man of the city of Philadelphia, wants to contribute that way. Obviously very involved with the bid for 2026 to have Philadelphia host a game. I genuinely do not know what his schooling is in terms of coaching licenses, because obviously to be on the touchline as a player is one thing, but to be on the touchline as a coach and be registered as a coach for the MLS or any league, really, you need a lot of schooling that people don't really think about. So I can't really comment much further except what's actually on the Twitter post. But interestingly enough, yeah, the two sources I spoke to were just sort of like, yeah, it's happening. And obviously we've heard from Tom, and I think earlier this weekend or this week, while Jonathan Tanwald was out in Florida, he spoke with Jim briefly and Jim had mentioned like, yes, I believe we're doing the right thing. So I think it's, again, something we've known was going to happen, but to finally hear that, you know, to my sources' understandings, the contract is done. It's good to go. And he's back for 1 year, is awesome. And, you know, 1 year, I think, is what makes the most sense. Could there be additional ones? And the way I understand it, no, but I'd be happy to be surprised. And I think a lot of people in Philadelphia would be too. I just wonder how that works in terms of a future. So more than open to hear more information on what's going to happen with demand, but it'll be fascinating to see whatever announcement or video is coming down the line. But it sounds like he is here to stay for at least one more additional year. And as I mentioned on the post, continue to build that legacy here.
Yeah, and I'm going to bring up some comments here from Kyle Almaney, giving you a shout out, Jose, as well as Jillian Almaney, the two amazing pair that does the One Team We Agree On, which just released an episode, I think, today, actually. So if you haven't checked out their episode, please do. And they're all along with their other work as well. And then Moreno says, excellent news. Thank you for joining us tonight. Listen, it feels weird. It feels very, very much like legends in Philadelphia are kind of at their end here. We have Jason Kelsey, right, possibly retiring. Brandon Graham already says he wants to come back. And now you have Alejandro Bedoya kind of on that farewell tour for, you know, what it seems to be, at least. From my perspective, though, you bring back a great leader in the locker room. We know how much value he brings from a leadership standpoint, a manager on the field type of deal. But it's just from a PR perspective, you know, I think the union got a lot of backlash from how they handled the situation. I know, Jose, you and I have talked about how the 20-second conversation that we heard about that night was just kind of, it was appalling. It wasn't really how we've typically treated athletes at the union or just Philadelphia athletes in general. I know Jim Curtin, who's a Philadelphia man himself, can appreciate the fact that you treat your athletes well. Yes, it's a business. Yes, we have to make sure that the team isn't just paying people to have their legacy standing here like they did with Jason Peters for way too long. But there's a certain way you treat your athletes. So, and also just for transparency as well, we've all criticized Bedoya. But I think to Dave's point, we've also criticized the way Bedoya was being used. And that's something that we have to focus on this year. How is he going to be used? Is he going to be a 60-minute guy and then you bring in Bueno or Quinn Sullivan, for example? Is he going to be a guy that comes off the bench? There's a lot of options now, but we do need some depth, and he now brings some depth. But in terms of the depth, there's some more news about one of the players that are on our team, Brandon Craig. So, Jose, I'll shoot it back to you. What have you heard about Brandon Craig and his recent trial with Everton and his status at the moment?
Yeah, so everything remains as is. What was really interesting I learned this week was that they're still waiting for a decision from Everton. My understanding is that that's plan A, right? Hoping that a move to Everton, Craig, who owns a very hard to get, at least is my understanding, British UK passport, whatever you want to call it, he has one. So he's able to really just walk through in a way to start playing within the Everton system, whether it's a first team contract, I don't know, whether it's a U23 contract and sort of, you know, wait for the fate of Everton for next year. It's also interesting. My understanding is that's plan A, the Everton move. But plan B, which was sort of eye-opening to me and made me think, okay, this is fascinating and worthy of reporting, is that the USL Championship is something that he's open to, and obviously other leagues across the world. That goes without saying, especially if he's, you know, pondering and gone on trial at Everton. So that goes without saying. But to be open for a move to the USL Championship just opens a whole new can of worms in terms of, well, if he's too good for Union 2 and is behind a whole bunch of players at the Union, does USL Championship make sense, right? Is that really a step up from Union 2? I don't know. I don't watch enough USL, but that's the additional bit of reporting that I have. No decision has been made. no loan has been agreed upon, but there's obviously going to be a lot of suitors who are interested in someone like him, especially on a loan, if they can split salaries, you know, like a 50-50, 60-40. I don't know what they could come up with. Maybe it's a loan with an option to buy. Who knows? So it'll be fascinating. That's the additional bit of reporting. Nothing has really changed with him outside of not being in camp.
Gotcha. And how about Dave? Have any thoughts on his possible departure, just considering the depth on this team, or any other thoughts on his possible move to the USL?
Yeah, I think in terms of the possible departure from this team, I don't think it's that shocking. I think, again, I think Mike, you even said it a couple of times, like, it's so weird to see a player who excels so much in the US youth level, like in national team level. But then obviously come to club level and you've got three, which is quite rare. This is quite rare in the MLS, I feel. You don't really see three top tier starting centre halves all in one team, all fighting out.
That's
then true. Sort of no disrespect to Craig, he's in a bit of a level below them guys at the moment. But again, he's not had the playing times, he's not had the experience to develop at this level either. So I think for me, I don't actually see any issues with him wanting to go and get a move. At the end of the day, it's his career, he wants to play instead of, you know, perhaps rotting away on the Union's bench, you know. And plus, as it's sort of been alluded to in pre-season as well, Pierre, 16, I don't know his first name, but I know that the 16-year-old centre-half, Pierre's been getting minutes as well. Obviously, he played against Flamengo in, I think, was it last Sunday? So, I mean, again, I have no issues. And if he ends up going to Everton, I'm sure he'll get a Football League loan, which, again, will be great for him. It's a very physical standard. He'll be going straight into, you know, he'll be playing against a lot of very physical people, and I'm sure that'll improve his game in itself. So I'm hoping that whether Brandon chooses is the best thing for him. And yeah, that's probably the most I can give on the situation. Because again, you don't really know what's going through a player's head in these sort of situations, do you?
No, you don't. And also, I was just looking at some of the things from online that I found. I mean, he's only 19 years old. He still has how old is Matt Real now? 22, 23, right? Is that?
It feels like he's been forever. Oh my God. But he's not that old.
He's 24. Maybe.
Okay. Wow. Well, he's a lot older than I thought he was. So maybe I'm not saying this is how Craig feels. I'm just speculating. Maybe he sees players like Matt Real kind of ride the bench for an extended amount of time. And he realizes that his window might be now. At 19 years old, you know, he's not a kid anymore. He's almost entering the 20s, right? He wants to start playing more minutes, getting more experience, getting more exposure. And as I mentioned to both of you guys before, and I know Dave, you kind of brought up as well, I thought it was ridiculous considering how many games we had to play this year that he didn't see any minutes at all.
Yeah.
I mean, even in Leagues Cup, whether it be even the Open Cup game that we had, the one game that we had, I mean, he got nothing. And you talked him up so much. Actually, he might not have been around for one of those games. So excuse me if I overlap there. But, I mean, we see it all the time with baseball, right? How many times do you see players go back to the minors to get minutes? Or even the NBA. You draft somebody late in the first round. They're not going to play on the first team. They're going to go to the G League and thrive in the G League and get minutes. So, again, there's a lot of speculation. We don't know where he's going to go. He could go USL. He could go overseas. He might just ride the bench here. Or I just don't think Union 2 is kind of where we first we see him moving forward. Go ahead, Jose.
I don't want to say definitely because there's always a percentage that, you know, it could happen, but I don't believe that he'll stick around this year.
And also just look at the contracts. I mean, when does Jacob's contract run out? Do you have one off the top of your head? I'm trying to look it up real quick as I'm talking.
No, I don't know off the top of my head, but I did a little guessing and a little digging onto, because it's still a secret what a homegrown contract is within the Philadelphia Union. When you think about Brandon Craig's contract itself, it's still a mystery. There's no information about it. But having made some phone calls and sort of talking to people who have brokered or helped write these contracts, they're under the understanding that maybe it's either a 3 guaranteed and 2-year option for the club, which jives with the fact that he was under contract when they did the press release for the end of season decisions. So if his option would have been exercised, he would have landed into that section, but he isn't. So this would have been year 3 of his guaranteed. Next year is the first club option. And then the following would be the next club option, which means when you think about turning this player for profit, I don't think that there's an extension in this contract. in terms of what's going on here, right? Requesting a loan, going on trial. Obviously, going on trial happens a lot. Jack McGlynn went on trial to Fulham a couple of years ago. So it happens all the time. But I don't think that there's a way where the parties agree to an extension. I would love to be wrong. So you think about the union's timeline here and trying to cash in on a player, I would think that it's now, but like, if it's not now, what's the point of a loan to then, I guess, a loan this year and then sell in the offseason, because then it's your last contract extension or whatever club option. Because if you don't sell now and then you loan him next year, he's walking for free unless there's like some sort of weird. His contract is still sort of a mystery, but I piece that it might be a 3-2.
So I'm going to bring up Frank's question in a second because it's a good point. And I looked up real quick on Google, and correct me if I'm wrong. As of 2022 in January, Jack Elliott's contract ran through 2024 with a club option for 2025. So obviously into next year, assuming they pick it up. And then Jacob Glesnes, this was released on March 21st of 2023. It was guaranteed through 2025, so two more years. And then with an option for 2026, so approximately 3 years. So Frank brings up the question here. Mike agreed that Craig should have seen some action. Any serious injury this year to center back with a number of games on top worries? Is Real the understudy? So I don't think Real would be the understudy. Thank you. Yeah, first of all, you pronounced the name probably a lot better than I would have. So that's the first thing. But yeah, I think you have to look at Makanya as the backup for all three of them, Lowe, Elliott, and Jacob. Also, what type of formation are they going to do? I mean, I know the three in the back was used briefly last year. I know it had some success. I also realized towards the back end of the season, it started kind of faltering. So maybe Lowe slots back into that consistent backup role, interchanges between the two guys up front as needed, and then Makanya, am I pronouncing that correctly? Would be the fourth guy in line. I don't think Matt Real would be the center back in that situation. I think he's going to stick behind Kai for now. But again, if you're looking at those four players, Craig's like, even if I get a game here or there, it's not what I want, right? And that's not just on him personally. That's any athlete. Any athlete wants to start every single minute. It is what it is. Yeah. So again, it's going to come down to the formation. And now that Jacob Glesnes has gone through that, you know, the Iron Man streak that he had going, that's kind of back down to zero. I'm hoping Curtin says, you know what, guys, we're going to rotate as needed. We're going to keep you guys fresh. Because to Frank's point, we still have a very heavy schedule in front of us. This is not going to get any easier than it was last year, aside from maybe, you know, well, I guess Open Cup, that's still obviously up in the air. But again, there's some worry there with the depth. But the good thing is Olivier is back. Nathan's obviously playing as well. So you'll have depth on the ends. It's more so how do you rotate in the middle. In terms of more depth situation, though, we got to see some preseason games. Jose, did you watch any of the first preseason game?
Yeah, I didn't watch it live. I watched a replay.
Oh, we'll give you a second there. It's okay.
Dave, am I muted now?
No, he's just still on mute. Dave, I'm going to shoot to you. Did you check out in the preseason game?
I mean, I watched most of the first half and a bit of the second half. It was, I think, to be honest, for the unit, it was probably more about the minutes and, you know, getting minutes in the legs and getting players used to playing back out in the conditions.
Hello.
But yeah, I think, again, you look at the two goals.
It's Mike is the one who can't hear us.
Mike's the guy with issues. You know, it was one of those games where it's clearly like Flamengo were just a class or level above the Union. You could see that the second goal was such a great goal. I think you, Jose, obviously tweeted out about it as well. A great strike. But then you look at, you know, Flamengo, you know, whose seasons actually has started. The Flamengo season, they've actually began their season. So although it was sort of, from the looks of it, it was sort of more like a reserve team or a second team that went to play the Union, because they actually ended up playing a league game on the exact same day that the Union played against Flamengo. So, you know, it was definitely a bit more of a stroll on the part for them. You could definitely see the level of quality that was there in comparison to where the Union were. But again, it's the first game in pre-season, so you don't really take too much stock in it. Yeah, it was just one of those games for the Union where, you know, get minutes in the legs, make sure everyone comes out of it unscathed. And from the sounds of it, everyone did. Came out unscathed. So, I mean, probably take that as put it down as a positive heading into this second week of preseason.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
My headphones died mid conversation, so apologies. Technical difficulties going live, of course. Oh, it's never easy. Jose, I'll shoot to you then. I don't know what I might have missed in between that.
No, it was quite apparent that it was the difference between a club that's 15 years old in terms of Philadelphia and a club that's 187 years old in terms of roster makeup. I know people don't like it. I know Jim uses it, Jim Curtin. Transfer market value-wise, the Union, I think like $57 million worth of players. And you look at Flamengo, which was over $100 million worth of players. So like the level is not quite there. And Dave is right. They actually, split up the roster in an interesting way because Flamengo actually had sort of like a weird domestic cup match the same day. So what went to the Union was a good chunk of starters with David Luiz, Everton, and some other names there, Gabriel Barbosa, Gabigol. So they were there, and some others stuck around in Brazil. But it was just obvious that it was different. And you know, you also think about missing players like Gastag, Ua, and then throwing in faces like Jamir Berdesio, right? Who was, you know, fresh off of a plane from Bolivia to New York and then to Florida like 2 days later. So, or 2 days earlier, I should say. So I think it was what we expected, a penalty goal, but then that beautiful shot that, again, like Andre Blake, Messi goal aside from League's Cup, doesn't get beaten really easily. So to see something like that needs the post to go in, like it's special. So like, what do you expect him to do? But nonetheless, I don't put a lot of stock behind that game. It was obviously, I hate to say men against boys, but it was very obvious that it was just a different level and that the Union will probably never face outside of honestly making it to the Club World Cup. Not even in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. I mean, America maybe, now Monterrey with Vasquez there, like that's as close as it's going to get. So kudos to them, as weird as it is, to keep it to only two.
So you're saying there's a chance is what you're saying, Jose.
Well, Club World Cup, dude, you never know. You win the CONCACAF Champions Cup and you're in for 2025. So there is a chance that the Union play that, but obviously it's I hate to say small, but it's, I don't know, not likely.
Of course. I'm just playing. And Valerie joins us. Hi, Val. Always nice to hear from you. I got a thrill seeing David Luiz on the pitch. I had lost track of where he was. And thanks, Val. hopefully I see you soon, by the way. My thoughts on preseason, I only watched the first match. I didn't get to catch the second match against Austin. I think I was working or something. I was tied up that day. I knew it was on a blog anyway, so it's not like I could watch it. I watched the first preseason, the first half only, because I had to go to my daughter's karate class. And I was watching on YouTube, and it was just glitchy. It was like a really bad stream. I know I had said initially, oh, Blake had an amazing save and ended up being a PK for them instead. So I was like, never mind. I apologize. My glitch is just way off on my TV right now with YouTube. But again, it's preseason. I don't take a lot of stake into it. I know some fans are upset with the result. Don't be. The one thing I thought was interesting, though, was Torres was playing like a man who wanted to keep his job. I don't know if you noticed that, Jose. Did you notice that at all? He had a couple of strikes on that. I mean, I know he's still on contract. I know there's probably not going to be very long with us. Do you see any sort of silver lining from Torres after that performance?
I agree with you. It was obvious that Joaquin wanted to show what he's got. And I think he was lively for sure. But he also benefited from honestly young players who were trying to prove themselves. That one play early on where CJ Oldney on the left wing cut in, had a chance to a shot after not necessarily sitting down David Luiz, but beating him and giving himself a shot, but passed it, which led to then Joaquin taking a left-footed shot that was saved. It was nice. It was actually really nice to see Joaquin. Listen, for all we know, he's like Aaron Nola. Joaquin, and I'm making a cross sport reference here, that like when it's cold he doesn't play well, and that's when we, you know, when the Union start the season, right? So like maybe the weather affects them. I don't know. I hope that Joaquin earns his playing time. Obviously Jim was very open at the end of season presser that he took some fault for not playing him more or giving him opportunity. So I don't know. I hope that this preseason, for all that we watched, that is probably all that we're going to watch in terms of live streams, I hope that he continues to impress.
Before I continue with the Union, I'm going to, you know, I know you mentioned Aaron Nola, so I'm going to mention Adam Mack real quick, who commented best looking hosts on the internet besides you, Adam, but I appreciate it. Adam does a lot of the Phillies work for us. He's great with minor league coverage as well. So if you don't follow him on AAT Sports, please do. Adam Mack. Awesome dude. Great stuff. Good college football mind as well. And go Cleveland State, Adam, if you're still watching. Dave, any thoughts on the use of Torres either last year or any sort of hope you have of him this year, considering the Union still have not made any significant changes? Yes, Bedoya's coming back. Kai Wagner coming back is massive. Again, that's a very big plug for us on the back line. But depth is still very clearly an issue. I mean, how do you feel on Torres being on the starting day roster?
Yeah, I think it's a weird – well, it's intriguing to see they've not actually made any, done any business yet, apart from obviously, I presume they'll probably hang their hat on, oh, we brought Kai back in the back, and that is going to be like a new signing for us because we weren't expecting to keep him.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think for Torres, especially in games like this, he probably views this as a chance to impress and to show the gym and everyone else around, like, this is why I should be playing. This is why I deserve minutes over X, Y, or Z. And I think, obviously, it was an interesting point that you sort of alluded to earlier on in the show with the fact that the back three or the back three or whatever struggled. And towards the end of the season, the formation with like the 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, whatever you want to call it, somewhat faltered and sort of, you know, didn't have the same impact as it did during the season. We sort of were exposed to it. I think it is sort of interesting that, you know, perhaps even the last few years, we haven't really, apart from perhaps the changing the diamonds to the back five, we haven't really seen this team somewhat make any alterations to the formation they're playing or make some adjustments to the way in which they play. So even with the diamond and, you know, the way they played with the diamond, you know, there was no real alterations. We sort of saw in the early parts of last year and throughout stages of last season, teams knew how to sort of defend the diamond, knew how to play against the diamond and, you know, how to approach it. And the same probably could be said for the same with the back five. But I think the player like Torres and the way that he... sort of we have alluded to, you know, what he can do on the ball. You know, he's a different player to Garzdag in the sense that I think, you know, Garzdag's more of like a second striker, like a false nine, right, where he sort of plays just off the striker. And, you know, he's not a player that, you know, but he can make stuff happen. He's not a player that, you know, he's going to make you get up off your feet and think, okay, he's going to make something happen, even if he's on the edge of the penalty area. Whereas a player like Torres, we were expecting that when he first came. We saw that in like the first couple of games. But apart from that, didn't really get the opportunity. And I don't think, you know, with the way that the Union do play, and, you know, perhaps he could have been that missing link last year when we're all sitting there with, you know, with our hands on our, like, hands on our chins, just bored out of our minds watching the team play that diamond and just failing to do it, like, break teams down. Like, maybe Torres in a starting role and with more creative freedom may have been able to have produced that with players like McLean and Bueno behind him. But I think this year, perhaps, if he can perhaps stamp his name in the team sheet, that might force Jim to make some alterations, not just to the way that, to the formation, but perhaps to the way that the team plays, you know, get him on the ball, make him more of a focal point, let him play a free role where he sort of blurs between the lines of attack and defence and or attack and field, whatever, like, do you know what I mean? He's a player, looks like a fluid player, who can play out wide, he can play in the middle, he can play a bit of a deeper role, perhaps, he can play just off the striker, like, again, it's a player that perhaps, who has untapped potential that we perhaps haven't seen yet. You know, and perhaps me making these suggestions now means nothing in 2 weeks when he's gone off to another MLS club or he's gone to South America or whatever. But yeah. Well,
I'm going to ask you a question because you've been a Union fan about a little bit longer than I have. So I'm going to ask you a question in a second, but Valerie brings a comment up. I hope Torres improves and shows the brilliance we saw in that glimmer early last year. Not just because Joaquin is a favorite name of mine. It is a good name. I'll give him that. So, Jose, my question for you, and because you're a better soccer mind than me, does it feel like Jim got Torres assuming he would just be an El Seno 2.0 and try to use him as an El Seno 2.0 rather than just using Torres for the strengths that he has? And he said, oh, well, he didn't duplicate El Seno, so he's just off to the bench.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it, which I say that to also say that's what I thought when I saw the transaction last December, January. I can't remember when it happened. I think it was a couple of weeks into preseason when they were out in Florida and he finally joined. But yeah, no, I think that might be accurate. And we don't have confirmation. We don't know what the train of thought was to get him, et cetera. Sure, they can say that in any press release that he's a dynamic player, game changer, et cetera, whatever PR lingo they want to put into it or comments they want to write for Ernst and Jim that, you know, they just nod yes or no. But like, man, I feel like everything I'm told is I talk to people from different offices within the league and you know, people who watch and people who pay attention. It's like, yeah, he's class. It's just he's not being used properly. And I don't know. I need to maybe go back and watch more of his games when he was in Montreal. But it seems like he could really flourish here. It's just when it's, as Dave mentions, when it's as predictable as the Union are, does it really make sense to have someone who's as shifty as him? Like, I don't know. Who knows? I'm intrigued, but I don't think your take is wild there, Mike, in terms of thinking that he would be a one-to-one or maybe a slight improvement in terms of obviously age and physicality in terms of being more mobile or last longer than El Seno. But before, I want to hear a Dave Miller Joaquin.
Wait, but I can't do the rolling accents. No, it's pointless.
No, and I'm just kidding, Dave. I wonder what happens with him. I think my gut tells me that he'll stick around this year.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. I mean, you see a lot of times in basketball, you know, you try to get some guy off another team and you plug him into that starting point guard role and you think he's going to put up 20 and 5 a night and he just can't. He's not capable of doing that. So then you shift him to the shooting guard role instead and that's where he thrives. So sometimes you just can't plug a player into that same exact spot and just hope that it benefits. But my concern, and I'm going to kind of double back to what I believe, I'm sorry if I get your name wrong. Yeah, Frank had mentioned earlier with Craig. It feels like with Philadelphia sports, you see athletes that kind of underperform in Philadelphia and they go somewhere else and they are suddenly significantly better. And that's what I'm kind of worried about with Craig and Torres or anybody else who leaves from here. It's like, are they going to go somewhere else and actually play better than what? Maybe that's just my pessimistic Philadelphia sense, just hoping that our coaches can get the best out of each player. But I mean, we know the Union have always been good at developing players, especially young players. So obviously there's some proof to show that that's not the case, but regardless, to Valerie's point, we hope that he brings back some glimmer of hope. And then Frank mentions Torres had good games in Montreal, showed early promise, then nothing with the Union. And again, and that was a thing too, is that even though he began to show nothing with the Union, he still saw more minutes than Andres Pereira. And that also, that's another head scratcher in itself. He had to have, no?
Is that true? I'm not sure. Let's see.
Yeah, are we going to do a minutes comparison between Pereira and Joaquin Torres?
Yeah, I'll tell you in a minute. Well, if you want to vamp or
yeah, I'll talk about it in the meantime. Okay, so we have like one or two more preseason games left. We have Saprissa right around the corner, as well as the season upcoming. Any thoughts, Dave, as Jose looks it up, on any sort of issues you have with the roster as it's now becoming much more evident that something isn't likely in the works in terms of an addition outside the club?
Yeah, it's difficult. Again, it's sort of difficult really to perhaps one persuade players to join a team when you're so set in the way that you play. Like, again, you look at the way the Union play and the shape, the holding midfield role, Jose Martinez, he's got that locked up. Jose Martinez's role, especially with the contract extension, you know, Jose Bueno, Jack McGlynn, Andy Bedoya, they're just names, Leon Flock, they're all players that have got those roles locked down. And then, you know, those sort of roles very much have their own, they have their own job, which is not very, the sort of the wide players and the diamond have their jobs of, you know, work, being workhorses, trying to, obviously with Jack McGlynn, it can be a bit more altered, you know, a bit more deep lying and playing. You know, I mean, the generic roles, workhorses, up and down, cover for the fullbacks and they overcommit. Joey, you haven't got much room to be that sort of flair player. The 10s, Daniel Gazdag's role. You know, you've got Quinn Sullivan behind him. He can sort of play about 7 different roles if he wants to. But, you know, that's Gazdag's role. And unless he's injured, he's never not going to, you know, get displaced. And you've got the two strikers and Baribo, who I still don't know if... I still don't know what's going on Baribo this year. I don't think... Has he got his green card sorted? I'm not too sure. So obviously, it wasn't...
My understanding is that the last... the first match, the Flamengo match, he had a little bit of a flare up with his ankle, so did Carranza, and that's why they didn't feature. And then the second match against Austin, they just kept him. He didn't dress, so he was just on the bleachers or whatever watching. I don't know what happens tomorrow against New York City FC.
You know, again, I think, like, do you know what I mean? In terms of, like, bringing players in, and obviously, like, Sanders and Garbo, obviously come in, a younger player, I think, what, 19 years old, not too sure what his midfield role will be. But again, is he going to be another Odada, and, you know, who we're either never going to see, or is he going to be a player that's going to be thrown straight into the fire, or even Jesus Bueno, where, you know, he'll come off the bench a couple of times, play for the U2, go out on loan, whatever. Like, that's, so, do you know what I mean? That's still, we're still yet to see what role he's going to play. But I think, again, like, when you want to bring in new players, but again, I keep saying it, you need a game-changing player that if you are chasing the game, or, you know, just a player with some, like, game-changing pace who can actually use the ball. I mean, like, as much as we love Gazdag, like, Gazdag isn't a ball-carrying player. He's more of a, you know, a bit like a Frank Lampard sort of player, where right place, right time, you know, in terms of, like, shooting and finishing, he'll be in the positions to, like, have chances on goal as opposed to crank stuff. Do you know what I mean? We haven't got any player like that in the team apart from Torres, but we've got a player like game-changing pace where if you get him on the ball and he can use his pace, he's going to put defenders on the back foot and, you know, keep him backpedaling.
That's why I kind of wanted Fafa to come back, because I know Fafa was a free agent this year. I think he's going to Vancouver. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jose, if I'm wrong about Fafa Pico, but that's why I
think
he
is there. I think he signed.
I love his speed. He obviously did well last season. I was hoping just for that extra body to just give some spark off the bench. And I think you bring up Bueno, Jose, and I'm going to bring up Jim Leinert's comment in a second. If nothing changes from last season, the Union will most likely repeat the same success as last season. So that's a great segue into what I wanted to say, Jim. And again, thanks for joining us. So you mentioned Bueno. We've mentioned McGlynn. We know McGlynn actually played pretty well for the U.S. national team in their recent performance. I think it was last week, right before their first preseason match. It feels like Tanner is just banking on McGlynn and Bueno having more maturity and having more minutes and being back next year and playing better. And I think a lot of people last year thought last year was going to be the rebuild year. We have a bunch of young players. They're kind of, you know, learning the trade, I guess you could say, whatever you want to word and you want to use for it, and getting better. And now finally they're here this year. They're better. They're veterans. They know how to do it. And they can go out there and perform at a higher level. That's what it feels like to me, is that they just now have these kids a little bit older. But to Jim's point, I don't disagree with him. I think they're going to be at the same exact result as we saw this year, if not worse, because every other team seems to have gotten better except for us. Jose, did you have anything on that Torres Perea thing?
It's confusing because the app I was using, which is FotMob, FotMob, it wasn't separating Perea's minutes, 900 some minutes, from whether it wasn't giving me a split between the 900 minutes between Union and New York City FC. So it was murky. But Torres did only feature for 345 minutes in the league. So maybe a little bit more if you add Champions Cup and Leagues Cup and probably U.S. Open Cup. He might have been used for that game, that single game out in Minnesota, that firecracker of a game with Kai's goal. But to your question, though, Mike, and Jim's comment, it's interesting because I think you can look at it two ways, right? You can take Andre's comment that he mentioned on ESPN FC of, like, you know, as a club, I think – and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not reading word by word, but basically saying the club needs to make a decision, right? Are we developing talent and selling it and being okay getting to the pinnacle of leagues and tournaments and not performing? Or are we going to sell/keep players and invest on the team so when we get to the biggest stage, we actually get over the hump? And, you know, if you think about this roster and the way that it went last year, the Inter Miami game was, I think, an absolute disaster, and I think Jim would agree that it was just an absolute disaster. He probably did during that press conference. I tried to block that entire day.
He mentioned something that he shouldn't have said, and that was that they seemed starstruck. Mm. They seemed to be kind of blinded by the stars in front of them.
Yeah,
which is surprising because the Union had played in the CONCACAF Champions League. They've played tough matches. They played in the greatest MLS Cup possibly in league history. They should not have been, you know, starstruck.
Yeah.
That was hard to listen to, I think, more than anything, but go ahead.
The Starstruck comment was interesting, and now it's giving me like flashbacks, like PTSD. But like PTSD, Starstruck, Starstruck, I expect from the Union 2 when they face Wrexham, not from the Philadelphia Union proper senior team against Inter Miami, Messi, etc. I think that's a completely different. Like, I did not expect that. So that's actually very interesting. But outside of that Miami game, if you really think about it, the Union were, and I'm not making excuses for them not spending, but just hear me out. They were just a few decisions away from maybe making it through. Right? You think about that game against Cincinnati. Could have been an offside. Was probably an offside, but wasn't. Then you think about a couple of games within the league that, you know, that crazy VAR on VAR against Montreal. Oh,
yeah.
You remember that? So a couple of games with weird things last year that maybe helped this team push into maybe, you know, further closer to Cincinnati in terms of the supporter shield, whether you value that trophy or not. I don't know. That's for you to decide. Obviously, US Open Cup, completely different story too, because the Union threw a makeshift lineup in a way too. I think that was Brendan Craig's only game last year. I can't recall.
Really?
Yeah, I think I don't know if one of you guys can double check that, but my point is, if they're gonna run it back again, sure, it's probably weird to expect a different result, but if you sort of think about it, this lineup that has been together for all these years has just been a few decisions away from getting over the hump in a way. So
just is trying to judge you, Jose. Brandon Craig did not play in that game.
Okay. Sorry. I must be thinking about the prior year's US Open Cup against Orlando, which is when they lost. I don't know. I hate that I remember that so well. But ultimately, this team has been running it back for the past 4 or 5 years with very little addition. So, like, is it fair to say that Nick Pariano out of Duke and Sanders and Gabo, I think I need to ask for pronunciation of his name, and Sabo, it's like, are they going to be enough? I don't know. And obviously I don't know what they're doing with Montali in terms of him being, is he the third string keeper? Obviously Trent's option was exercised. So like, I see both ways of it, right? Like, does keeping it going with the same group make sense? To some, it might. But to others, obviously, it's like insanity doing the same thing over and over again with the same crew.
And I'll kind of jump on you on your bandwagon as well. There is a silver lining to having a lot of youth when there's such a heavy schedule in front of you. You know these kids can get back and running, you know, like ASAP, basically. Frank says if Ua can progress back to 2022 levels, that helps. And that absolutely does, especially if Baribo then gets a full preseason under his belt. As well as you hope that Julian at least is with us until July. Hey, Julian, if you're listening, win us the Champions Cup, and then you can go about your merry way. That's kind of how I do it. But again, we're at 45 minutes. I know, Dave, you have a very early morning in actually a few hours because it's about, what is it, 3 a.m. for you over there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Dave, listen, guys, I'm sorry everybody in the comments. Dave has a bedtime. I apologize. But any last thoughts before I read the sponsor real quick and then kind of go off into the close here?
Go on, Dave.
So for me, I mean, again, it's been a weird sort of offseason. I think even probably this point last year, the Union had made the Torres and Pereira moves and even Damian Lowe. To answer Valerie's question, personally for me, I don't really care about you. I didn't really care about the Klopp thing. For me, I'm not a big. It's quite fun to see the reactions regarding the club. I'm not really a big Premier League guy, to be honest. I'm more focused on the lower league football. And to be honest, to see a manager who, for a lot of the time while in England, moaned about the traditional side of our game, it's nice to see him go. We just need to get Pep out there and we'll have FA Cup replays forever. So, that's the main thing. But sorry, just to go back to the Union. It's weird. I mean, the weirdest is just a lack of action. I know I said to earlier in the podcast that they'll probably make the big point for them is, Kai Wagner is like a new sign and getting him back, probably the money they've spent to actually keep him. Who knows in regards to the, what's it called? The makings of that deal. And I'm sure that will come out at some point later in the season, how much money's been invested in that. But you know, again, at this point last season, you know, Torres had come in, Pereira had come in, Damian Lowe had come in, and, you know, everyone was sort of thinking that those three moves were going to get this team over the hump, and of course it didn't, and we saw the team somewhat did go backwards, which perhaps, I know, perhaps we somewhat set ourselves up for that failure last year in the sense that everyone thought, well, you know, we're bringing everyone back, we are going to take that next step, and perhaps, you know, this team was a precursor for the Eagles and what happened there in a sense. But but no, yeah, I think perhaps maybe this year might be different. Maybe, you know, we're going in with lower expectations, and perhaps, you know, Jim's been working in the lab with the rest of the coaches to make slight changes to the way that we play, the way that the formation works, and perhaps to be a bit more fluid, you know, actually getting players like Torres more minutes and Sullivan more minutes, who are a bit more dynamic as opposed to as great as Gazdag is. But, you know, perhaps who can offer you more on the ball when they do get the balls, opposed to Gazdag, who is a bit limited in what he can do when on the ball in terms of, you know, don't want to say creating opportunities, but, you know, making stuff happen on the ball. You know, when you watch players like, you know, even in the Premier League, you know, you see players like, you know, play for Man City, like Bernardo Silva, Jack Grealish, you know, even abroad, like the great players you see abroad who play, like, you know, Pedri and stuff like that, players who can make stuff happen on the ball and out of nothing, De Bruyne, do you know what I mean? They could perhaps offer you something a bit different, but who knows? I think it's going to be an interesting time. I think these next couple of preseason games will be interesting to see how the Union do approach them, especially because, you know, with the Saprissa game coming up, unless Jim views those two games as an extended preseason, you'd like to think that we'll probably start to be seeing more of how we are going to be expect the Union to play for the upcoming season. I think you'd like to think, you know, they're now going to start ramping things up. So I'm excited to see how that goes heading into that Saprissa game in a couple of weeks.
Jose, how about you? Final thought here before we wrap up the show.
Not much. I think we've just done a sit and wait pattern, right? It seems like some of the bigger questions are answered in terms of Kai and apparently, as I posted, Alejandro Bedoya. So what is the team going to do next? They are about to get three international spots back. They already have two due to the green cards of Martinez and Gazdag. Ua will be the third. Are the Union just going to go ahead and sell the international spots and get GAM and go for someone domestic, or are they going to try to push forward and get some more players from outside the country? I don't know. I have no information. I would think that they want to add some more to this roster, but I don't know who or what the profile is, and I have no information to share. It's exciting. As silent as it has been, other teams are just as silent. So there's stuff to worry about, but there's also it's okay. And I think Tanner has proven over the past few years that he can figure out how to get a team like this to finals and semifinals, etc. It's just, can they just squeeze that lemon that much further? I'm not sure.
Absolutely. And listen, I mean, like we see in the NFL, NBA, you know, leagues are copycat leagues. They're going to find ways to replicate each other and kind of keep up with the competition, keep up with the Joneses, if you like to say that. So we see what Miami's done down there. You know, we've seen other teams kind of bring in big names. I think eventually, to your point, Jose, if he does sell those spots, he's going to eventually have to copycat the rest of the league and keep up and you know, keep this team competitive, because eventually we're not going to be happy with semifinals appearances or finals appearances. And to Andre Blake's point, they want to win, because for them as athletes, their window is now. That's it, you know. But again, this is Across the Pitch. We typically record every Monday night, 8:45 p.m. during the regular season. I know, Dave, you and I have talked about possibly even doing some Fridays to fit your schedule a little bit better as well, out being overseas. So we might occasionally have a Friday show as well. I'm going to bring up Jim's comment. Good night. Appreciate it. Jim, hopefully see you at the tailgates this season if you show up. But otherwise, you can follow Dave at Dave GFC Miller. He covers Union with us. He also covers the Jills, up the Jills. Hopefully they have a good game, I think, tomorrow night, tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Tomorrow afternoon for us, tomorrow morning for you guys.
Beautiful. So hopefully a good performance from them. Jose R. Nunez 91 on Twitter. He has a Substack now. Check it out. It's free to subscribe if you want to subscribe. All his content's going there, so check that out. And again, my name is Mike Brera, mbrera1323 on Twitter. I'll get a TikTok back up and running ASAP once we get the regular season started. And I appreciate everybody commenting. Join us, Valerie. Thanks for joining us as always. I'll see you guys soon. Doop.